The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. You are now listening to Dear My Anxiety. I'm your host, Ebony Garza, a series based on my journey with anxiety and all the things I have encountered along the way. From advice to social media, I cover it all. Welcome back to my show, everybody. Today, I'm going to talk about some common myths when it comes to anxiety disorders. And I want to talk about how those who suffer from anxiety can be extremely misunderstood. I know myself, I've had to deal with people thinking that I'm being rude or coming across as mad, when in reality, I feel like I'm dying inside and I'm just extremely anxious. So let's get into what's fact and what's fiction. Now, I want to start off by saying these are real assumptions from real people, and that's the whole reason that I'm doing this show. I want to inform and hopefully educate those who believe these myths are real, and it's no one's fault, you know, that they're uninformed, but hopefully I can shed some light and, you know, just give them a better insight on what anxiety really is. So the first myth, and probably the most common one, is that anxiety isn't real. There are many people out there who truly believe that anxiety is just a silly problem, that people are exaggerating. And this myth about anxiety could not be further from the truth. While everyone experiences occasional anxiety at some point in their life, anxiety disorders are way more intense fears than that, and they can interfere with a person's daily life. And for those who struggle to function properly because of their anxiety, that's when it becomes a real medical problem. And just because maybe you experience it and it's not that severe, you can't relate, that's not the same for everybody. Everybody's anxiety journey and experience is different. Secondly, is medication is the only treatment for anxiety disorders. Now, while medication can be very effective for treating consistent anxiety, this is not the only method for handling the symptoms. You can combine medication with cognitive behavioral therapy, as well as other individualized therapy methods, to increase your chances for long-term success. Little things like journaling, as I've said, have helped me. Being open about anxiety has helped me a lot. Not trying to hide it. The third assumption is therapy for anxiety should be focused on the root cause of this disorder. Another one of the myths about anxiety that we hear often is about the treatment, and that, as I said, should only focus on the root cause. And it is important to try to get to the bottom of why you're experiencing anxiety to begin with. And this may be, in fact, be rooted to problems from your childhood, but not always. However, therapy will also work on the present and teach patients how to manage their thoughts and emotions. In anxiety treatment, you can learn how to combat these negative thoughts and lessen the anxiety symptoms on a daily basis. Fourth is less stress will cure anxiety. Of all the myths about anxiety, one of the biggest is that removing stress from your life will completely remove your anxiety. Now, obviously, living a life with less stress will of course help your symptoms, but this will not magically clear your mental health disease. Contrary to the popular belief that anxiety disorders are not caused by stress and you should undergo effective treatment in order to learn how to properly manage your symptoms, learning how to change your thought patterns can also be so powerful. Now, fifth, anxiety attacks can cause you to faint. When you experience a panic attack, there can be intense feelings of dizziness and you may start to hyperventilate, which can increase blood pressure but it doesn't cause people to faint. In fact, the opposite is what causes someone to faint. So six is you don't need professional help. With time, you can get over your anxiety on your own. Of the many common myths about anxiety disorders, this one may be the most dangerous. Many people mistakenly believe that their anxiety will get better with time and they don't seek professional help. And while some people believe that exercise, eating right, and avoiding caffeine is enough to combat the anxiety, you will not see a lot of improvement. In fact, only about a third of people who struggle with anxiety will actually seek treatment, even though treatment has been proven to be effective. One study found that medication is effective for 50% of people, and cognitive behavioral therapy is highly effective for over 60% of people. And the last assumption that I'm going to read is, in order to stop feeling anxious, you should suppress your anxious thoughts. Duh, if we could do this, we would. While this technique may help to push your anxiety away temporarily, it can also cause your anxiety to worsen in the long run. These suppressed thoughts will probably only come back stronger and more frequently. When one experiences a panic attack, there can be intense feelings of dizziness, and this person may start to hyperventilate. Let's talk about coming across as rude. This is something that I really struggle with. I've had several instances where people think that I'm being rude, and in reality, it's just my anxiety. So I want to talk about this in case anyone, you know, might think somebody's being rude, and it could just be anxiety. So unfortunately, there are many stigmas surrounding most, if not all, mental health disorders. And whether people don't understand the effect of the mental illness or don't believe in them, far too many people can't comprehend what someone else is going through, making it hard for them to understand why people do the things they do. And this is often the case for people with anxiety. Anxiety is one such condition that can be debilitating and affect one's daily life. These feelings often lead to individuals isolating themselves to cope better with their symptoms. And that's something that I struggle with, isolating myself, and it's something that I am trying to work on. In many cases, social situations are triggers for people with anxiety. And unfortunately, there are things that people with anxiety do that come across as rude to those who maybe don't know or understand this disorder. Those living with anxiety have developed coping mechanisms that may come off as rude, but are only a result of their anxiety disorder. For those with no knowledge of these mental health disorders, it can be hard for them to recognize these signs or symptoms of anxiety and are quick to write off this disorder. So today I'm going to talk about, you know, some things that I know I do, and I'm sure a lot of other people do as well, that come across as rude. So one being canceling plans. Now, making plans can be a big deal for those living with anxiety, and often being in social situations can trigger their symptoms, which only makes things worse. However, that doesn't mean that they don't enjoy your company or don't want to spend time with you. They understand their condition and know what to do to cope with it. People with anxiety might come up with an excuse as to why they can't hang out, which I'm guilty for. They might also agree to plan and then cancel last minute or just never show up. Canceling plans does not mean that they weren't interested or aren't interested. It most likely means that they experienced severe anxiety that caused them to cancel their plans. If this does happen to be the case, reach out to whoever, you know, it was and let them know that it's okay. Assure your friend that their mental health takes priority and you will be there if you need them. And maybe reschedule for a time that fits you both. And a lot of the time, you know, if the person knows that you're there to support them, they'll feel more comfortable when it comes to scheduling something else with you. Now, avoiding eye contact. This isn't something that I personally struggle with. My partner struggles with this pretty bad. He tends to panic, you know, when you're talking to him and making constant eye contact. And some people do think that's rude. And I know at first I thought it was rude. And I, you know, it took me a while to understand that this is just something that makes him anxious, because while I have anxiety, this isn't a factor for myself. So I struggle from anxiety, but this was something that I didn't understand. So many people view eye contact as a sign of confidence and respect, and, you know, letting the person know that you're listening to them. That was my thing, as I thought he wasn't listening to me, you know. Many consider it to be a staple in most social interactions. However, for people with anxiety, it can be overwhelming. And for many, feeling looked at can make people, you know, question how they look. You know, they might start to have physical symptoms as far as their heart racing, sweating, breathing heavier. And as you can imagine, when you spend too much time thinking about your appearance, you begin to feel self-conscious and anxious. For those with anxiety, the idea of being social is overwhelming as it is, but the feeling of being looked at can make things worse. People with anxiety find it difficult to maintain eye contact, whether they're talking or listening. So if you're aware of someone's anxiety, try not to think about them avoiding eye contact too much, and try to understand that for them, maintaining eye contact can be overwhelming. Thing that people with anxiety do that comes across as rude is asking you to repeat yourself. In a conversation, the general rule is when you are not speaking, you're listening to what the other person has to say. However, for people with anxiety, their mind is often racing in a lot of different places. They feel overwhelmed with thoughts, and unfortunately, this means that they also might miss out on important information or can't quite process it fast enough because they're still thinking about what you said before. Now, it's crucial to remember that this is not their fault, and it doesn't mean that they're not interested in what you have to say. Their anxiety clouds their brain and pulls their attention elsewhere. And if they do ask you to repeat yourself, try to avoid getting frustrated as much as you can and repeat yourself clearly. Now, this is something that my partner and I both struggle with, so our conversations can be pretty funky. But yes, a lot of the time we're asking each other to repeat ourselves. I mean, several times throughout a conversation, but thankfully we both understand, you know, that neither of us have real control over it, so it's okay. Now, the fifth thing is talking too much or too little. When I first met my partner, he never spoke a word, never spoke a word at all. And now he doesn't shut up. But it was because of his anxiety. He didn't know what to say. He didn't want to say the wrong thing. And a lot of times now, I have had to help him just send simple texts because he's not sure about his wording. Or he's like, does this sound weird? What do you think they're going to respond? Things like that. So anxiety affects people in different ways. For some, it can cause people to be short, and other people see this as rude. They feel like it shows that the person doesn't want to be in the conversation or doesn't care for what the other person has to say. However, people with anxiety often use short responses as a defense mechanism, or not wanting to seem annoying or whatever the case may be. But the idea of opening up and being vulnerable during the conversation can be really overwhelming and scary for someone with anxiety. However, the opposite can also be true. For some, silence can be unbearable and can make symptoms of anxiety worse. To combat this issue and avoid uncomfortable situations, people will talk nonstop, often talking over others. And as you can imagine, this can come off as selfish or insensitive. even further, the content of the conversation is often irrelevant to the topic at hand. So this, like I said, is something that my partner deals with. He sometimes will come home from work and tell me that he was in a really uncomfortable situation, that he was talking to someone, and there was like a really long pause and he didn't know what to do. But it's just anxiety. It's just something that those with anxiety deal with. So it's important to remember that everyone's anxiety is different. Anxiety can have many effects on one person. And if you haven't dealt with anxiety yourself or know someone who has dealt with it, you might not be able to understand some of the effects. At the very least, you might not be able to attribute rude behavior to anxiety. Unfortunately, this is often the case for people with anxiety. Their mental health disorders can cause them to act a certain way that appears inappropriate or rude to others. However, the person is only reacting to their symptoms. So before thinking poorly of them, be patient and ask if everything is all right and try to understand what they're going through before making any judgments. So lastly, I'm not a doctor, again, so this is just some advice and thoughts from a girl with anxiety. And I really hope that today I was able to shed some light and be informative for those who aren't totally educated on anxiety. And that's the whole point of the show, as I said earlier, and I hope I accomplished that today. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.